Along with the Cajun Canyon and Bobby Hebert, I'm Deke Bellavia. We are at the World War II Museum where the Gridiron Glory Pro Football Hall of Fame exhibit continues here. And you can hear on WWR Radio talking about it and promoting this great exhibit is Saints quarterback Drew Brees, who joins us now. Drew, thank you so much for the time. And you went in that little spot you're doing to talk about, especially the gentlemen that were associated with pro football that also went on to represent our country in some capacity.
Yeah, no, the fact that we have the National World War II Museum in New Orleans, I think, is extremely significant, just to start with that. And obviously, it was able to be kind of showcased quite a bit during Super Bowl week. We were running quite a few PSAs and advertisements to try to get people to come and visit, and I think the turnout was great. And, it's one of those places that obviously, for those of us who had members of our family that, either fought in World War II or served in the military, it has special meaning. But, especially for the guys, that play in the NFL, it's kind of one of those unique opportunities to see the guys that, put away their helmets and shoulder pads for leather helmets for a while and went and played or fought to defend our country in World War II. So the exhibit that's there right now, kind of highlighting those men and talking about their accomplishments, I think is great.
Now, Drew, looking at different Saints artifacts, obviously you look at the memorabilia and how Saints fans love football, and looking at, was it a no-brainer where a lot of times you want to keep memorabilia, but the jersey worn by you in 2011 when you set the new single-season passing yardage record when you surpassed Dan Marino. Then I believe also the touchdown consecutive passes that you surpassed Johnny United. So was it something that, look, I'd rather have it in a museum than just put it maybe in my man cave or my sports memorabilia room?
Yeah, I think it's important to preserve those things and to give other people the opportunity to kind of share in that moment or, and even if it's just, a piece of, what you were wearing that day, whether it was your helmet or your jersey or, whatever it might be, I think it's important, when we went and played in the Hall of Fame game this year, we had a chance to walk through the museum there in Canton and, to see some of the items from over the years that, the Saints now have a presence, in the Hall of Fame. And so I know, Tom Dempsey's, kicking shoe,
yep.
and other things that are part of that. That's really neat to see, and I get excited about that. Obviously, being a Saint, and it makes me feel proud that we've got representation in that way.
Now, Drew, look at this day and age. When you're dealing with the salary cap, and obviously, looking at Tom Brady and also yourself and how the individual player, since you are playing a team sport, how you're able, are you willing to restructure deals so you can help the team? It seems like, is that just this day and age the way it is, or the way maybe Mickey Loomis and the Saints, the way they do things, where it seems like almost every year you might have four or five players that are restructuring deals to help the team. As of late, you look on Monday, Broderick Bunkley, he's scheduled to make $3.7 million, then all of a sudden, you give him a signing bonus, $3 million, and gets a base salary of $750,000. But then all of a sudden, look what he was able to help the Saints with the salary cap hit. Instead of being $4.7 million, it's only $2.5 million. So is that something that years to come, that really a lot of maybe executives and teams are going to take that approach where we all know it's about leverage? And you might have to restructure a deal, but you're still going to get your money. So I know a player and all the dues that they've paid, they're willing to do that. And then also other players, depending if you stay with a team or you're going to go out in the market, is that, look, I might have to take a cut in pay. Is that just the way the NFL is run today?
Yeah, and everybody's up against the cap. Everybody wants to be able to be as competitive as possible. And in order to do that, you're going to have to pay to keep certain players, and you're going to want to build your team as best you can with the amount of money that you have, and obviously there's a cap on that though. So, you're trying to fit as many talented players and as many players as you want to keep on your team as you can that's within the cap. And inevitably, every team, you can't just go out there and spend as much as you want. This isn't the New York Yankees, you know, or baseball,
right.
You know. So, you know, everybody has that challenge. You know, every general manager has that challenge. And just about every year, you know, a team has to sit there and look at their roster and say, okay, where can we trim, you know, trim the fat, so to speak, you know, here and there in order to get to a place where, hey, we can sign the free agents that we want to sign or keep the guys that we want to keep. And you just kind of anticipate how that's going to affect you in the future, you know. And I think there's different ways to restructure a contract, too. When you hear the term restructure, that doesn't necessarily mean you took less money. It just means that maybe the money is coming to you now in a different form. Maybe it's not
right.
salary. Maybe it's been switched to signing bonus, and now it's been prorated over, you know, the rest of your contract. And so your cap number is lessened this year, but maybe it causes it to go up, you know, next year or the following year. And so, you know, it's very strategic, you know, and I think, you know, Mickey Loomis is one of the best in the business when it comes to that kind of thing, you know, making sure that we're able to keep the guys that we want to keep while at the same time, you know, being within the cap and but remaining extremely competitive.
With Saints quarterback Drew Brees here on Saints Radio WWL. Drew, you held the title, I think, for highest pay for about 8 months. Joe Flacco signed his contract yesterday. We visited with former GM of the Bills and head of the Indianapolis Colts for many years, Bill Polian. He says the prime position, which is quarterback position, the salaries will only get higher as the time goes on. And, you know, it seems like now that $100 million mark has become the benchmark for elite quarterbacks. And then Bob and I get texts and we get calls all the time, and they say, oh, that's just too much money. And do athletes get paid too much money, Drew?
Yeah, we probably do. I mean, unless you're finding a cure for cancer or you know, creating world peace, I don't know if anybody deserves to get that much money. But, you know, that's the industry that we're in. You probably say the same for actors, actresses, and entertainers, you know. We're in the entertainment industry, and business is business, and there's a market, you know, and
yeah.
The market establishes what you get paid.
Yeah, and Drew, we are capitalists. I mean, a capitalistic society. We're not socialists. So I mean, come on, let the market bear and look at the TV revenue coming in. Just look at listen. Everyone's benefiting, like you said. You can't put it in the regular workforce. I try and tell people that. Listen, school teachers should be paid more. The firemen, the policemen. But who's to say Frank Sinatra and Mick Jagger go sing for an hour and they get $1 million? No, it's entertainment, and that's just the way it is.
Well, if Frank Sinatra sung this week, Drew, he'd get paid $2 million an hour.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just to kind of reiterate, though, the you know, it doesn't surprise me that Joe Flacco, you know, jumped me. And then I'm sure that, you know, maybe it's Aaron Rodgers, maybe it's somebody else is gonna leapfrog Joe Flacco, and then the trend is gonna continue in that direction as our game continues to grow and the popularity continues to grow. That doesn't surprise me.
And Drew, we had a chance to visit with Coach Payton yesterday. He talked about when you guys get back to work and lifting weights and everything. He said, and that'll obviously be a big startup to the season, the off-season workout. Would it be fair to say, Drew, or I'll just ask you, is there a little more sense of maybe a eagerness to start this off-season program concerning whatever has happened in the last 12 or so months with the Saints?
Absolutely. We're all chomping at the bit. And obviously, excited to have Coach Payton back. Just excited to get back to work. Really, I always look forward to that downtime with the family, and I've taken full advantage of it. You know, this last month or so, but I cannot wait to get back to work when the time comes.
Now, Drew, looking at and I know how competitive you are. You know, going offense against the defense, just in practice and day in and day out, trying to make each other better. Know yourself and going against Jonathan Vilma and then Sean Payton versus Greg Williams. What can you tell the fans about now Rob Ryan coming on board and you are preparing for Rob Ryan defense, whether it was with Cleveland or Dallas, and and how you look forward to competing against Rob Ryan's defense day in and day out.
I really look forward to it. I've got a lot of respect for him and his scheme. Faced him a number of times, you know, when he was in Oakland and then Cleveland and Dallas last year. So he's one of those guys that I like his swagger. You know, I like his it seems like his defenses play extremely hard, and they do a lot of things. You know, they're very multiple in the things that they can do defensively. So he seems to be very creative, and he's done a great job kind of incorporating the skills and talents of his defensive players into the scheme, you know, wherever he's been. And I think that's where you really kind of develop an attitude, you know, and a swagger is throughout OTAs and then in the training camp, competing against your own defense. You know, we pride ourselves offensively as being one of the best offenses in the league, and hey, we're going to throw a lot at you as well, you know. So let's make this as competitive as we can. I mean, we're trying to beat them every day, just like they're trying to beat us. And in the end, when you step on the field on game day, you say there's nothing that we could see or face that we haven't seen before in practice, or a situation that we haven't been in practice, by facing our own defense. That's what you want to be able to say.
Saints quarterback Drew Brees. Drew, always a pleasure. Thank you so much for the time. And, again, I know when you come in here and you see being a part of this great exhibit, it has a little special place to you, because we know your history with your family and being a part of the service. And this is another great exhibit that's a part of what Bobby and I consider, and everybody really considers, one of the best museums in the world here right in our own backyard in New Orleans.
Absolutely. And for those who haven't visited the National World War II Museum in New Orleans, it's a spectacular place and something you got to see.
Drew, thank you so much for the time. We appreciate it.
All right, guys. Have a good one.
All right, Drew. All right.